Well, we're back in Romans 8, and it starts with a wonderful title, No Condemnation. Just by way of reminder of some of the, what we've covered, maybe you've forgotten, maybe you weren't here, even, you know, as I was going back and picking this back up, it's like, yeah, it's good to remind myself of some of these things. That, you know, this book of Romans is about really a debate between the Apostle Paul and a Jewish person who's questioning Christianity. That's a big picture of what the book of Romans is about. And we've been looking over the last number of weeks at Romans chapter 6 through 8, the topic of sanctification, the topic of is if Christ is my righteousness, how should I live? Right? That's what we've been looking at over the last number of weeks. And in Romans chapter 6, we talked about the relationship to the law, to sin. You know, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? The answer, do we know what the answer to that answer is? God forbid. May it never be, because sin is an enslaver. We need to understand what it is. Sin leads to death. Sin is an enslaver, so we should never think that, well, but now that I've come to Christ and he's paid for my sin, then it doesn't matter how I live. That is not true. It's one of the accusations made against Christianity, but it happens to be not true. And if you think that way, you don't really understand Christianity. You don't really understand grace. You don't really understand the gospel. And we've talked about that at length in the past, but just by way of reminder. But then chapter 7 is our relationship to the law, and that's where we spent a number of weeks. And we've died to the law to serve by the new way of the Spirit. The law is a condemner. Now, in Romans 7, when it talks about the law, it talks about the law in a couple different ways. One is talking about the moral law, the Ten Commandments, all of those things. But another way that the law is talked about in Romans 7 is the law of flesh and of sin and of death. So it uses law in a couple different ways, but the law is a condemner. But now we get to Romans 8. Oh, I've been looking forward to getting here. And I hope that you, as a Christian, if you've had any type of understanding of Scripture, you spend a lot of time thinking about Romans 8. I've heard so many people spend a lot of time talking about Romans 7. Remember that Romans 7 ends with misery. Hey, you know, the Christian life is not about a life of misery. It's about a life of no condemnation, about a relationship to God through the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 uses the word spirit in various ways 20 times. So it must be pretty important to understand what we're talking about with regards to the Christian life and no condemnation, and understanding the role, the ministry, the involvement of the Spirit of God in the life of a Christian. Years ago, My good friend Dr. John introduced a book to me, and the book Jesus Continued, and in it talks about many Christians think that the Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we need to understand the role and ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And, you know, some people avoid that. Oh, I don't want to look Pentecostal, and maybe I'm going to get all emotional. You know, that's falling off the horse in one way. The other way is falling off the horse and acting like the Holy Spirit's not part of it, and I'm just going to live my Christian life by my own effort. You will be miserable trying to live your Christian life by your own effort. It's interesting, because of the interaction between Paul and this Jewish questioner, he doesn't really present Jesus as God. in the early arguments. If you go back and look, he doesn't start out by saying, you need to understand, Jesus is God. But when you get to Romans 8, you know, it starts to become clearer how he's presenting Christ. And we'll look at that as we go along. But the understanding would be that for a Jewish questioner, they would have really struggled if he started out talking about Jesus being God. And by the way, if you're dealing with a Jehovah's Witness, if you're dealing with a Muslim, the same is true. Years ago, I was talking to a Muslim and, you know, talking about Jesus being God, and they were very concerned for me because that's the one thing that will cause me to go to hell, according to them. And a guy who lived in Morocco told me one time, he said, you have to be able to walk across the bridge to understand that Jesus is God in order to be saved, but it's not the first bridge you walk across with someone. And that's what Paul is modeling for us in the book of Romans, where he's developing all these arguments, but now in Romans 8, we'll see in verse 9 that he talks about the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of Christ all in the same sentence. So you have to come to the conclusion that Jesus is God, but Paul has developed all these other arguments first before he introduces that concept. Well, I did some research on the word condemnation. If we're talking about no condemnation, we should understand what we're talking about with condemnation. Condemnation, to divide as a result of judgment, to be decided against anyone. That's a hard word to say, condemnatory judgment. If you think of God as condemning you, this message is for you. This chapter is for you. Because right at the outset it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. You know, as I was studying this and thinking about this, I don't know if you remember back to last year when the Canadian fires were sending all of that haze and smoke and everything. Chris and I one day were coming back from New Jersey, and in Jersey they didn't have it at that time. We drove across this bridge, and we looked back, and there's all this clear, and over here is all of this fog, smog, smoke, whatever you want to call it. Well, Romans chapter 8 is like this fresh wind that just blows away all of that condemnation, all of that that is chapter 7. And maybe for some of you, it's a chapter that wants to blow that away that you've lived under your whole life. This condemnation, this feeling of not measuring up, and oh, I try and I try and I try. Romans 8 comes along and says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If this was a black congregation, I'd be hearing, amen. Preach it, brother. We're a white congregation, so we don't do that. But maybe you should. Yeah. I was listening to Tony Evans recently, and you get that call and response kind of thing going on there. But Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. If you're here today and you are just under this, I want to be a freedom fighter for you today, that when you leave here, you're no longer under the feeling of condemnation. You're no longer living under this cloud, but you're set free in Christ. You know, the question is, how did this happen? How is it that Christ sets us free from this, the law of condemnation, sets us free from this law of sin and death? Well, it says in verse 3, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. I have an illustration for you. This is not a weapon. This is a fork. It's a very old fork. And my illustration is a very old illustration. Some of us older folks will remember a guy by the name of Dr. J. Vernon McGee. Used to take us on the Bible bus. Went through the Bible. I used to listen to him on the radio every day. 5 years, he'd take you through the whole Bible. I remember when he was doing this section. Here was his illustration. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. This is the law. It's good. It's old. Nothing wrong with it. But if the meat that is cooked is overcooked, the fork can't pick it up. It's weak through the flesh and it falls, right? Nothing wrong with the fork. It's the flesh that is the problem. What the law couldn't do because of the weakness of our flesh, God did. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. It's so interesting to think about what not one of us could do, Jesus Christ accomplished in his flesh. He had flesh and blood just like you and me. But he didn't have the sin nature that you and I have from Adam. And he accomplished what the first Adam couldn't do. It's an amazing thing to think about the life of Christ and the agony he would have experienced. He truly experienced the temptations that you and I experience. He was familiar with all of our temptations, and yet he did not sin. And because of that, he fulfilled the righteous requirements of the law. It is finished. Remember me talking about, not he is finished, it is finished. The righteous requirements of the law have been fulfilled in Christ, so that now we are set free. This is the gospel. So I have to stop here and ask you a question. What is your relationship to the gospel? Are you here this morning trying to fulfill the righteous requirements? Are you here with sin just weighing you down? And you walked in and, you know, it's the song Amazing Grace, it talks about it was grace that taught my heart to fear. And maybe you're in that spot right now where you've begun to be aware of how sinful you are. But it's grace that took away my fears. Have you embraced the grace that is available in Jesus Christ, that the righteous requirements of the law have been fulfilled in Christ, and you are now in Christ? Well, there's no condemnation. How does it happen? You know, we looked at how did it happen. Now, how does it happen? Verses 5 through 11 look at how does it happen. And verse 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. You know, it's a comparison of mindsets, right? There's a comparison of mindsets with the flesh or the Spirit. And here, the flesh refers to the unregenerated state. The Spirit is a regenerated state. If you set your mind on the things of the flesh, you need to understand what we're talking about. There's a lot of different ways to set your mind on the things of the flesh. One way to set your mind on the things of the flesh is just, I want to do whatever my flesh wants to do, and you're not going to tell me not to. That's one way of being setting your mind on the flesh. But the other way that we saw in chapter 7 is setting your mind on the flesh by doing those things which you believe God says in his law to do, and you're going to do it yourself. That's another way of having your mind set on the flesh. The mind can be set on the flesh in many different ways, but there's only one way for the mind to be set on the Spirit, right? You can get it wrong many ways, but you only get it right one way. If your mind is set on the things of the Spirit, it comes down to one little word. His. His. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. It's a very well-known passage of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 2, it says, by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not your own doing. It's a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. This is the gospel, right? It's not my efforts. It's by grace. It's through faith. It's a gift of God, so I can't. Not going to boast. But verse 10 isn't as well known. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar. I wish I was. In fact, I was on the phone with Tim Marcy on Thursday evening discussing a word, parakaleo. I asked him to do some research for me. And it's a really important word. But this is what I do know. Word order in Greek is important. And when things are out of order, you should pay attention. Well, in that verse, verse 10, in ours it says, for we are his workmanship. In Greek, his is first. It's for us to understand we are his. If your mind is set on the Spirit, I believe you can boil it all the way down to one word, his. I am his. When you think of what it says here, his workmanship we are, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The mindset on the Spirit is going to understand, I am his. I've been purchased with the shed blood and broken body of Christ, and I am no longer my own. I am his. Do you think that way this morning? I am his. Or are you regulated by a sinful or legalistic life that leads to a self-focus? We are a tremendously self-focused society. I last checked, there's over 500 words in our dictionary related to self. That should tell you something. They keep inventing new ones all the time. We are a tremendously self-focused society. When you think about your relationship with God, do you think about yourself, what you do? This mindset, this unregenerated mindset, is one that leads to death, is hostile to God, does not submit to God's law, cannot submit to God's law, and cannot please God. This, I'm not talking about the day-to-day off and on. It's what's your mindset in general? Has God so worked in your life that he has changed you from the inside out, and now your focus is able to be his? The unregenerate person does not have the ability to please God, does not have the ability, and often thinks of God as a cruel taskmaster. We don't have time to look at it, but when you go and you look at the different stewards, and you know there's the one that gets the one talent and says, I know you're a cruel, and you reap where you don't sow, and all that. That mindset, that's the unregenerate mindset that many people have. Well, you know, God's requiring all of these things from me, and you know, it's just this, it can be very religious. and very wrong. Well, I'm doing these things and things, and God needs to do this for me. Well, wait a minute. Whose are you? Is he your servant or are you his? Which way do you approach life? So the Lord decided to give me a really good, pertinent illustration of this week. On Thursday, I have deadlines that I've set, and I work with my team to have my message done by Thursday lunch. Thursday morning. Had about 2 hours, my message framework was done. I was doing the same thing I always do, and it disappeared. Probably a lot of you have had something like that happen. And, I was somewhere between wanting to cry and going, what in the world am I going to do? Because it was, I have all these pages of notes and stuff, but then I put it together on the computer. And I called Chris and said, anything I can do? And I called Ty, anything I can do? And they tried, it's gone. It is literally gone. And dear sweet Chris prayed for me. And I got off of the phone and I spent some time. Lord, is there something else you want me to see here? And I was able to get to a different mindset. And it reminded me that I'm his. Without the Spirit of God, I couldn't have got to that mindset. I would have just been somewhere on how stupid can you be to, oh, I can't believe, all those places you can go, right? But I was able to get back to, Lord, is there something else you want me to see here? We do it right because we do it twice, And the second version was better than the first. And I was talking with Ty about it, and he said, well, it seems like the Lord's given you a pretty good up-to-date illustration, hasn't he? Yeah. What does your mindset reveal about your relationship to God, especially when you don't get what you want? What does your mindset tell you? And when those things happen, if it's all about you, and it's consistently all about you, I think you better back up and ask the question, do I actually know God? Or did I just learn a whole bunch of Christianese? Did I just learn a whole bunch of things that the Bible says, and I can, maybe I've memorized them and things, but in my heart of hearts, when things don't go my way, I can't get there. You see, the life of the Spirit of God results in a life and peace. Is your life characterized by, even in the midst of things when they don't go your way, landing at life and peace? Or is your life characterized by misery and frustration and all of these things? Step back and ask the question, do I actually know God? Because in Romans 8:9, this is a verse that, man, you ought to know. You ought to know this verse. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. If you're here this morning and his Spirit doesn't witness with your spirit that you're a child of God, it's time to repent. It's time to think differently about your relationship with God and to step back and ask the questions, do I even know you? Because this verse, do you see it? Do you see how clear it is in this verse? And it's a Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son verse. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. All these other things we'll talk about in Romans 8, and no condemnation, no separation, you know, all of these things. Don't move on if you're not clear that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Next week, you'll hear testimonies in baptism, and one of those testimonies I've read talks about having Christ as fire insurance in high school, but now, and I won't get into who it is and all that, but now, eyes have been opened. I have to think there's people among us who have prayed a prayer, gotten fire insurance, but the Spirit of Christ doesn't dwell in you at all. You have no idea what I'm talking about. You don't experience life and peace in the midst of trouble. This is a message calling you to repentance. What does your mindset reveal about your relationship to God? For those who are in Christ Jesus, there is great encouragement. Verses 10 and 11 say, if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Do you hear that? The same Spirit that raised Jesus up out of the grave is raising you up to new life and going to empower you and give you life and peace in the here and the now. No matter what you're facing today, if Christ is in you, you can depend upon the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead to give you life and peace.